Radio.
Hitting the Home Run. An interview with author and educator, David Lawrence. So I'm joined today by David Lawrence from Melbourne. Thanks for joining me, David.
Pleasure. Thanks, Luke.
Now, I just wanted to first of all ask you about what inspired you to get involved with writing.
Well, Ever since I was a little kid, I've loved writing. My mum, being an English teacher, used to feed me the award-winning story, so I was always given great books to read from the time I was little. And so I've just always loved writing and always loved reading. And I've always written stories, you know, in English. I always used to write stories and loved writing stories and kept journals and diaries and things like that. And more recently, I've decided, well, I should really just try and complete the project and try and create a full book and get it published and see what happens.
Now, what have been the main, has there been anyone, you mentioned your mother, but has there been anyone in particular or anything in particular that has given you that inspiration for writing?
No, I don't think so. I think just from the time I was young, I just always used to love doing it, loved reading. When I was 15, I read a book which led to like a big conversion where I experienced God in a completely life-changing and incredibly powerful way. So that was through the agency of a book. So I've always had a very strong affinity with books and reading and the impact that they have. So because I love writing, I've just done it. So there's no real sort of one inspiration, sort of natural thing that I've loved doing from the time I was little.
Do you think that's part of the power? You said that, you know, your conversion, I guess one of the catalysts there was a book. Do you think that's the power of books and in particular of stories?
Absolutely. Yeah, I absolutely do. For me, it was through that, as you say, that catalyst of a book, which God was able to use to sort of transform my life completely. And I think books do have an incredible power, just entertainment value, educational value, in so many different ways, and they just open up whole new worlds without leaving the pages of a book in front of you. So I think that there's just an incredible gift, you know, to history and to humanity and to our art, education, and civilization. And it's I've just been enriched so incredibly by so many fantastic writers, both fiction and non-fiction. And it does stand as a testimony to the power of books and the power of writing, the power of words and stories.
It's definitely something that, I mean, many people have had these conversions through the experience of through reading and through being able to, yeah, that inspiration and that direction that they gain from these books. Now, you, of course, I'm not speaking to you today just because we like talking about books, but because you have written, of course, your own book, Home Run. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's very exciting because it's my first real published book. I've self-published a book, so you can't really count that. But this one's published by a Victorian publisher, and I wrote it the year before last, last year, just in the Easter holidays. And so I had a routine where I knew I had 2 weeks in front of me. I decided that I just wanted to finish a book in that time, and I wanted to write for teenagers, and I wanted to combine a really good story with something that's going to hopefully lead teenagers to a step of faith, to experience God themselves personally. And the other thing that I wanted to do is just draw sort of the Pentecostal and Catholic churches together through the characters and through the story. So it's one of the objectives that I had. And so I had this routine where I'd spend a bit of time sort of in prayer and meditation, and then I would go down to a local coffee shop and spend most of the afternoon writing. And I had a goal of 4,000 words every day. And there was a few days that I couldn't do that, but I had to make up for that. And I just loved the whole experience. And so I wrote the first draft then in those 2 weeks, and in the subsequent months I sort of refined it and got different people to read it, a few teenagers to read it. and then submitted it for publication. And I'm very happy that the Publisher's Apprentice have published it. And so now I'm in the process of trying to promote it and market it myself.
Yeah. That's fantastic. It's good to get an insight there that it's not just about, you know, getting those ideas in your head, but also the role of prayer in that. That's really good. I really liked, I was looking at a couple of the reviews before of this book, and one of them said, this one made me laugh, "This book will drive teachers mad. Teachers will hide it under the desk for a sneaky read in maths because it's a compelling story." Now, I'm sure your intention is not to distract children during their classes, but that really does say something good about the book, that it is such a compelling story. Yeah, did you want to speak a bit about that? That you really wanted to try and draw people into this world that is in your book, or that you know, it's not meant to be something drab, but that you've tried to pique the interest of children to get them there, and then push them towards that, I guess, that spiritual conversion that you spoke about. Was that your intention there?
Yeah, well, that quote is from Tess. I think she's very very generous in writing that. Obviously, I don't want to distract people from genuine learning. Absolutely not. I'm very grateful that she wrote that. I know that writing is or reading rather for teenagers is not a popular thing unless something huge comes along, you know, like Dracula vampire series or Harry Potter or something like that. So with a book like this, Home Run, because it's got a very strong Christian message. Initially, I wanted to promote it really as a Christian fiction, but then I just drew back and I didn't want to sort of pigeonhole it into that, because it's primarily about two baseball players who are teenagers, and that their lifelong ambition is to play for the New York Yankees, and so I'm that's the story, the plot, and I'm sort of weaving a faith and a search for meaning around that. So I wanted to be a lot more broad than just sort of Christian fiction, but a book like this, I think, will either sell itself or not. So we'll see. Hopefully this radio program will pique the interest of some people to sort of go ahead and look at Home Run and maybe just read it. And then I think if it's a good enough book, it'll sell. If not, then back to the drawing board for another one.
Well, given the reviews I've seen thus far and the process that you've gone through, you said, you know, getting it to teenagers themselves, you haven't sort of just put this out on paper and said, take it or leave it. You know, you've put a lot into this, to making sure that it's good and that it's readable for people. So I'm sure you will do well. So can you tell me a little bit about the story itself? You mentioned a little bit there, but what's the plot for this book?
Okay, the plot is centered on the main character, Brad, and his best friend, Jordan, who are 16-year-olds, and both of them have this lifelong obsession to play for their favorite team, which is the New York Yankees, arguably, you know, the most famous baseball team in the world. And so Brad, but both of them have just a normal secular upbringing. Neither of them come from religious families or backgrounds of any faith. They're just purely focused on their baseball. Brad, the main character, has two parents who are like a lot of parents. They're just absolutely obsessive, and they want nothing more for Brad to hit the big time, and their whole lives revolve around Brad and his baseball, not so much his schooling and his education, more his baseball. And Brad's best friend, Jordan, who trained together, they're in the same team together, they play for Australia together. Jordan's parents are very dysfunctional. His father's a millionaire expat, and his mother's sort of like a philanderer, both of them are. And so Jordan has this very empty life, and Brad and Brad's parents are his sort of mainstay. As it turns out, Jordan has this sort of search, this hunger for something deeper. And a couple of times they meet Brad's aunt, who's a Christian, and then they go to New York just to sort of do a reconnaissance tour before they know that there's going to be scouts watching them. And while they're doing this reconnaissance tour, they meet up with another fictional character, Jose de la Cruz, who's the best baseball player in the world, and he's a committed Christian. He's a Catholic. And he leads them to two friends of his. One's a Pentecostal pastor and one's a Catholic priest who work with disadvantaged Latinos and some of the black populations in New York and some of the slums. And a theme running through the book is, life is more than baseball. So it sort of portends my sort of deeper meaning to this. But anyway, they come back to Australia, and Brad is actually drafted. He gets his dream by the New York Yankees, but his best friend Jordan misses out. So Jordan is taken by his parents, who sort of come together in this time of grief in their son's life, and they take him on a trip. And while they're visiting Egypt, some disaster strikes, and a tragedy strikes, and I won't give the details.
Don't want to give that away.
No, I won't give the details. But yeah. As a result of that, Brad is reduced to wondering what life's all about, because up until now it's been baseball, and all of a sudden everything changes. And so he desperately wants to get in touch with Jordan, and he goes to a clairvoyant and has what hopefully is a very humorous experience there with a clairvoyant who turns out to be a fraud. He does everything he could, because there's these Christianity promises that, you know, there's more to just this present life. He sort of toys around with his aunt and his grandmother. He stays with his grandmother, who's a really good influence on him. And Jose de la Cruz, the famous baseball player, calls up and gives him some support, moral support. So so Brad then is, in the meantime, he's met this Pakistani girl who's a Muslim. And so there's a bit of a, a commentary on different religions and different faiths and different paths to God. And in the end, Brad, through all these different Christian influences, has this experience, again, which I won't tell you what it is, but he has this experience which completely transforms his life and gives him hope. And so at one point, he was even contemplating not going over to the New York Yankees. So distraught was he about life, but he gets his faith and his hope restored and reinvigorated, and he decides that he's going to go across, and that's where the book ends.
Hmm. Fantastic! There's definitely a lot packed into that book. It's it sounds like you've got a lot there. So
it is a lot packed. In fact, one adult reader who read it said that it's a lot packed into the one, because I was just hoping that just to really just jam it full of lots of different issues that are relevant to teenagers.
Mm.
I suppose time will tell whether it's too many or not. But when I have given it to teenagers to read it, I haven't got that sort of feedback. So hopefully it's not too much to take in, at once. It just keeps it moving and happening.
Yeah, well, that's a good sign. Well, thank you very much for that, David. The link for your book we'll put up on the website. I see you've got it on iTunes, I guess, for the iBooks software.
Yes,
on
iTunes,
Apple Products
and Amazon and all
Amazon,
the e-readers.
Yep, excellent. So it would be very difficult not to find it, but we'll put the links there nonetheless. And yes, any plans for any other books in the future?
Well, I've got a website, davidlawrencebooks.com.au, which the book can be purchased through that as well. But yeah, depending on how this one goes, and I've got a few plans to hopefully, there's a couple of movie production companies in America who I'm submitting this forward for. And my ultimate hope is that a movie can be made out of it, and that through that, then it'll be more widely known. Depending on that, there's a plan that hopefully, if that's successful, then there's a whole series of books that come after that. If not, then, like I say, just back to the drawing board and try something different.
Yeah, well, it's good. It's good that you're open. And I guess, the Lord will be able to open those doors that he wants to be opened for you. So I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see what happens. But it sounds like you've got a great book here. So I hope that it all goes well.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Luke, for the opportunity.
Not a problem. Thank you, and God bless. That was an interview with David Lawrence. And for more interviews, talks, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.